Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Because it's so important for all of us to understand the history of our efforts to protect life, we've dedicated this 10-part series, Abortion in America, to discussing the major milestones of our efforts and the history of the pro-life movement in America. The rest of 1990 saw pro-abortion leaders challenge the pro-life policies of Ronald Reagan. In a letter to key U.S. House leaders, President George H.W. Bush restated his commitment to both the Kemp-Casten Amendment and the Mexico City Policy, which cut off U.S. aid to organizations that promote the legalization and utilization of abortion in foreign nations. On June 27th, the U.S. House rejected a proposal to fund two organizations that promote abortion in less developed nations by a vote of 224 to 198. The summer of 1990 saw two unlikely occurrences. In July, a four-part Los Angeles Times series by David Shaw entitled Abortion and the Media documented the widespread pro-abortion media bias. And in August 1990, the AFL-CIO Executive Council rejected a proposal for the union to abandon its traditional neutrality on abortion and take a pro-abortion stance. In May 1991, the U.S. Supreme Court in Rust v. Sullivan upheld the Bush administration's regulations that prohibit routine counseling and referral for abortion in 4,000 clinics that receive federal Title X family planning funds. In November, President Bush vetoed a $205 billion Health and Human Services appropriations bill because it included a provision that would have blocked enforcement of the pro-life regulations. The veto was sustained by a 12-vote margin. In a June letter to then-House Speaker Thomas Foley, President Bush vowed, "I will veto any legislation that weakens current law or existing regulations pertaining to abortion." And the Louisiana legislature overrode the veto of a law protecting unborn children from abortion in all cases other than when the life of the mother is at stake or in cases of rape or incest. President Bush nominated Judge Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court in July. He was confirmed by the Senate in October by a vote of 52 to 48. That fall, Anna Rosa Rodriguez survived a third trimester abortion attempt by New York City abortionist Abu Hayat, but was born with one arm severed at the shoulder. And a threat of a Bush veto maintained the Reagan-era ban on the performance of abortion on military bases, except to save the mother's life. In February 1992, the Bush administration threatened to veto legislation that would have required federal funding of research that encouraged or depended on abortion, including the transplantation of tissue that was harvested from aborted babies. In March, President Bush vowed that the radically pro-abortion Freedom of Choice Act will not become law as long as I am President of the United States. In June of that year, the U.S. Supreme Court reaffirmed the core holdings of Roe v. Wade in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, but modified it by discarding the trimester scheme, upheld certain restrictions on abortion, and adopted the undue burden test of abortion laws that currently requires the opponents of an abortion regulation to prove that the provision would create an undue burden on a woman's right to abortion in order for it to be declared unconstitutional. The vote of the court was 6-3. In July of 1992, the U.S. House sustained President Bush's veto of a bill to require federal funding for transplanting the tissue taken from aborted babies by a narrow 14-vote margin. In September, a gruesome abortion procedure, which involves partially delivering an unborn baby, was described by abortionist Martin Haskell at a meeting of the National Abortion Federation. Congress would later call the procedure partial birth abortion. On Election Day, 1992, pro-abortion Democrat Bill Clinton defeated President George H.W. Bush. While the defeat stunned pro-life activists, and the media wrote the pro-life movement's virtual obituary, we were far from defeated. In fact, pro-lifers began 1993 more galvanized than ever. That's where we'll pick up for part 6 of Abortion in America. And don't forget, you can listen to the entire series at ProLifePerspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.